May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this day. Amen. Our text is the Gospel from John chapter 3. We pray, Lord, help us to open our ears that we gladly hear your word, and open our hearts that we receive it with faith that we believe. Grant us all the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I begin the sermon today, I'm going to be up front. There are 10 points to the sermon today. Now, don't run and leave. 10! If you've been around here, you know, usually you have 2 points, 3, 4, maybe 5 tops. 10 today. Why? Well, I'm going to focus on John 3:16. Perhaps the greatest verse in the whole Bible. They're all great, but this may stand at the top of the pile there. Just a wonderful, loved verse. The gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16, God's love. And when I looked at John 3:16, you just can't say 2 things about it or 3 things about it. I said you have to say 10 things about it. So 10 points. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this wonderful verse phrase by phrase. We're going to look at 10 great phrases in one great verse. That's kind of our theme. 10 great phrases in one great verse. And phrase by phrase, we'll break it down and just I'll say a few words about each phrase in this great verse. We all know John 3:16. We've said it lots of times. We've heard it lots of times. We tend to take it for granted maybe. So we're going to focus on the words, the phrases. So let's just sit back for a while, for 15 minutes here, and contemplate the wonders of this incredible word from Jesus himself, John 3:16. Maybe get out a pencil, piece of paper, write down the 10 points, take it home and reflect on it later today or through this week. Number one, how does John 3:16 begin? 10 phrases again. How does it start? For God, stop there. All right, for God is the first phrase. Phrase number one, for God. You can't go after God, you got to stop at God. For God. We think of the greatest, all right? God, the greatest being in the universe. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who holds all of life, who's the source of all life, who made everything, is all-powerful, is omnipresent, omniscient, holy, righteous, gracious, forgiving, slow to anger. A God that's eternal. God, our minds go to. John 3:16 begins with our minds on God. Away from health problems, away from March Madness, away from war, the economy, and all the worries that we have this day, and what's coming up this week. Away from all that nonsense, our minds go to God. Eternal, righteous, holy. That's where John 3:16 takes us, to God. You know, I learned a new word this week that I don't even know what it even means. The word Twitter. What's it mean to Twitter? Is that a computer word or something? Twittering? And I just got used to the word blog, whatever that is, means to blog something. Don't know what that really means either. Just there's always some new word, some new thing in our society. John 3:16 takes us to the eternal one, the changeless one, God. All right, there's point number one, God the greatest. And then what's the next phrase? For God, so loved. Stop there. That's phrase number two. So loved. This is the greatest power. God is the greatest. Now we have the greatest power in the universe. Tell me a greater power, a greater force, a greater energy than the love of God Almighty. This love, this power, this energy, this force raises the dead. It forgives sins. It delivers from hell. It gives eternal life. It gives eternal glory. No greater power in this universe than God's love. Never just skip over and say, God loves me. God loves me. Power. John 3:16 does not say, for God so loathed the world. What a horrible verse it would be if it said that. It doesn't say, for God so looked at the world and had warm, fuzzy feelings about the world. It says, for God so loved. God the greatest, so loved, the greatest power. What's the next phrase? The world, the greatest problem. God the greatest, so loved, the greatest power. The world, point number three, the greatest problem. Our world is big, our world is beautiful, and our world is very, very bad. Full of sin. All 6 billion plus are sinful. The animal kingdom corrupt, the vegetable kingdom corrupt, the whole earth and its structure and core corrupt, the weather corrupt, the atmosphere corrupt, the entire universe corrupted by the evil power of sin, lying in darkness, deserving damnation. The world a big, big, big problem. The biggest problem, the greatest problem. You know, Reader's Digest, we get it home, and in the April issue, and the title of the April issue said, How to Hide Anything. Got my attention. How to hide anything. And in that, it has about 19, 20 tips on how to hide stuff. How to hide your age. How to hide your weight. How to hide the spot on the ceiling of your home. How to hide from lightning it has. How to hide your bad breath. You have to drink black tea or green tea and swish it in your mouth. Or a piece of cinnamon gum. How to hide anything? Well, when we hear the word world, we're reminded there's something we can't hide. We cannot hide sin. It must be taken away only by the blood of a Savior. God the greatest, so love the greatest power, the world the greatest problem. What's the next phrase? That he, you guys don't know John 3:16? Well, can we say it a few times, make sure you know it? That he gave the greatest proof. Stop there. That he gave, this is the greatest proof. The greatest proof of the love of God that he gave his only son that's coming up next. You know, we live in a world of war, of misery, sickness, death, trouble, trials, economic problems. How do we know that this God loves us? Well, we know God loves us not merely because he gives us a job, or he gives me money, or he gives me a nice house, or he's giving me nice health. All that is evidence of God's love. But the greatest proof is that he gave his son. Christmas is the proof of God's love. Good Friday, the death of Christ, is the proof of God's love. The greatest proof by far. I was in Pilot the other day. And you know in all those kind of those little gas station stores or so forth, they have a little, that little container as you check out with pennies in it. And you can take a penny out if you need a penny to make proper change, or you can leave a penny there, and you never guess. To have proper change at Pilot, I needed 4 pennies. And I sheepishly, with guilt, said, can I take 4 pennies? I mean, 1's okay, maybe 2, but aren't you stretching it with 4 pennies at that little container? And so with guilt and sheepishly, I said, can I have 4? And of course, the lady said, sure, go ahead. I said, I'll be sure to pay it back. I'll bring back 4 pennies tomorrow. A reminder that you just don't get anything for free in this world. It's hard to even take a penny. Is a penny for free, or do I need to put back the penny tomorrow too? God gave freely his son. No conditions, no strings, nothing we had to do to pay him back. He just gave. The greatest proof. And then number 5, his one and only son, the greatest person. He gave the greatest person, his son, the God-man, the lamb of sacrifice, the lion of Judah, the Lord of lords and King of kings. He gave his only son, the greatest person. What a great verse. Everything's great about this verse. And yet this greatest person, Jesus, became the lowest slave at the cross. The first became last, we think of during Lent. The greatest became the least, we think of during Lent. In ancient Egypt, you know how they got rid of fleas in ancient Egypt? They'd have flies in the house, insects in the house. They would take the lowest slave in the house, if you were rich, they'd take the lowest slave, and they'd cover that slave in honey or in syrup. Cover their body in honey or syrup and put them in the corner of the house. And all the flies and insects would, of course, smell the sweetness or be attracted to the sweetness and would land on that person and would be stuck because of the honey, right? Stuck because of the syrup. They'd stuck. And so you had this slave, this poor slave, in the corner with all these flies on them and insects on them. And then when they were covered, they would shoo them out of the house, and the person ran out of the house and took all the dead insects and so forth out of the house. You like to be that slave? Parents, you want your kids to do that this summer? Good, that's good. better than the fly swatter, huh? what our Lord did for us in at the cross, taking sin, taking death, taking hell, taking damnation, taking forsakenness, taking sickness, disease, all of it into his own body, and took it as far as the east is from the west. Made it through half. God, the greatest, so loved the greatest power, the world, the greatest problem, that he gave the greatest proof, his only son, the greatest person, that whoever stops there, that whoever, that's number six, that whoever, this is the greatest possibility. Whoever? Yes, whoever. Whether you're rich, poor, young, old, man, woman, Jew, Gentile, whoever. Whoever would believe, it's the greatest possibility. Whoever can be saved. No conditions, no qualifications. Whoever would believe. Whoever. Wow, what a possibility. No matter who I am, what I've done, how wretched I've been, God's Son died for me. And there's the possibility of being forgiven and saved if only I would believe by the Holy Spirit. They say America is the land of opportunity, the land of possibility. I suppose, politically speaking, the real land of possibility and opportunity is called the church, where every sinner finds forgiveness. You want the possibility, the opportunity to be saved? Be baptized. Believe. It's for all people. This is the land of opportunity. For every sinner, you're forgiven, no matter who you are or what you've done. Number seven, believes in him. This is the greatest persuasion. Don't take that as if that's easy. All I got to do is believe? Well, that's easy enough. I just believe? That's so simple and easy. This requires the ultimate persuasion of the Holy Spirit to happen. For as Paul says in that Ephesians passage, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We're ever the rebel against God. Our will is bound over to sin and death. And so the Holy Spirit must persuade us by his power, change our will, give us rebirth, make us alive that we believe. It's a miracle of the Holy Spirit. Happens to the word of God that we preach. Happens in the word and the water of baptism. The ultimate power and persuasion of the Spirit to make a sinner a saint by giving them faith. The two greatest miracles that can ever happen. One is that we die and go to heaven, and our bodies are raised. That is the ultimate miracle. The other one's happened to most all of us here, I think, and that's that we believe. Never walk around saying, well, I believe. That is a miracle of the Holy Spirit produced by the power of God's Word. Born again. That whoever, that's number seven. Are you wearing out? You wish I just had three. Should not perish the greatest peace. Here we have the greatest peace and pardon. Should not perish. I'm not going to go to hell if I believe in Jesus. I won't be damned. I won't be forsaken. I'm not going to perish. Ah! Peace. Pardon. Relief. When you're relieved of something, what do you often say? I'm not going to be punished. I made it through. In the church, we don't go. In the church, we shout, Alleluia. Shout it with me. Alleluia. I know it's Lent. We shouldn't do that. Although every Sunday is a little Easter. Today's not really Lent. Today's another Easter. Tomorrow begins Lent again. The Sundays in Lent are not Lent. So we can shout again. What? Alleluia. Should not perish. The greatest peace I can have this side of heaven. But has, number nine, this is the greatest promise. But has, not will have, might have, could have, but has certainty. It's the promise of the Almighty God because of the work of Jesus, but has certainty, promise. You're going to have eternal life. You know what the odds are for Tennessee to win the NCAA tournament? I know they're out already, so it doesn't matter. The odds I heard this week were 75-1. Anybody make the wager 75? Don't gamble as a Christian. I understand that. 75-1 odds. And, of course, they're not going to come true, are they, for you, those of you that put down $10 on Tennessee. You believe in Jesus, what's the odds of you going to heaven? Are they 1-2 odds? Maybe 1-3 odds. I got a 33% chance. Maybe I'll get there. It's 1-1 odds. But has, not will, have, might, not might have or could have, but has, certain, 1-1 odds, the greatest promise. And then, point number 10 to finish up, has what? Eternal life, the greatest possession, the greatest pleasure, the greatest paradise, eternal life. So John 3:16 begins with our mind on God. Point number one, for God, the holy, eternal, righteous, gracious, loving God, my mind's on him. And now it ends with eternal life, again on heaven, on glory. And in between you have the Son given and the Holy Spirit who gives faith, the work of the Trinity. Beginning God, the end on God in heaven, eternal life. I heard a cute little story that pertains to this. Larry wins the lottery and dashes downtown to win his prize. "Give me my $20 million," he demands to the man in charge. "Sorry," the man says, "but it doesn't work that way. You'll get $1 million today, and then the rest will be spread out over the next 19 years. Larry was furious. "Look, I want my money now. And if you're not going to give me my $20 million right now, then give me back my dollar." There's a fool. And yet this is American society. I want everything right now. I want it right now. I'm not going to wait till later. I want it all right now. This is why we hate this bad economy. I can't buy stuff right now. Can't have everything right now. Oh my. The Christian life is not having everything right now. We have all that we need right now: forgiveness, baptism, communion, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, faith. That's more than what we need. But we really get it all later. The gold streets, the pearly gates, the resurrection of the flesh. Can we persevere in the faith, as Pastor mentioned, the children mentioned, and believe until we die? So to review, let's see if you got all this, or else I'm going to go over them again. For God, the greatest, so love, the greatest. All right, let's go over that one again. No, I'm just. The greatest power, the world, the greatest problem, that he gave, the greatest proof, his only begotten Son, the greatest person, that whoever, the greatest possibility, believes in him, the greatest persuasion, should not perish, the greatest peace, but has the greatest promise, eternal life, the greatest possession. 10 great phrases in one great verse. Thank God for John 3:16. Let's rise and sing. The created me, now made.